Actually, about our mission conference coming up, and I was thinking because I was thinking about Turkey and our trip last year to Turkey and how warm it would be there right now. And I'm so excited that the Phillips are coming, David and Kathy, who are with us in Turkey. And you will not want to miss our mission conference because you want to hear, of course, how chilly it is here and how hot it is over there. So you'll want to take note of that insert in your bulletin. And make sure you write those dates down and join us when David and Kathy come to share. It's going to be a great time. In regard to that, we're looking for people to host a missionary couple for a meal. We have three missionary couples coming. And so if you can help out in that way, please contact Dawn Vickers, or you can leave your name at the church office, and we'll make sure that she gets the information. So that's three people. We need three couples to host a meal for our missionary couples. That would be great. Well, how are you all doing? During this season of Lent, we're doing a series about prayer leading up to Gethsemane. And typically, Lent is that time where a person gives something up. And I know many of you have probably given up eating because Thursdays is our Lenten lunch down at St. Albans, right? And I got that right. I was thinking St. David's. You'll want to take note of the poster in the foyer there. And Thursdays, you want to find yourself to the Lenten lunch. It's a great time. But typically, Lent's that time where a person gives something up. And I'm encouraging you this Lent to take something up. And that's a prayer life that will change who you are and affect those around you. See, spending time alone with God is one of the key elements of the Christian life. We talk about it, and we lament about it, and we think about it. But I encourage you to spend time with God in prayer through this Lenten time, and more than that, beyond that. And that, we're going to look today at James chapter 5, and I invite you to turn to James chapter 5. And at the end of the turmoil that's mentioned throughout James, there's a simple principle that usually gets lost because we get hung up on what happens before. James chapter 5. And you'll recall that this is the chapter in which God has given to the church, the way you deal with sickness in the church and how you go about seeing that those people experience healing. And so he says in James chapter 5, and I'm going to just read the whole passage to you first. James chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. I want you to note a few things about praying through pain. Prayer through pain requires strength. It requires strength. I don't believe when we're in pain or when we're in trouble or when trouble is coming around all around us and all hope is slowly fading. I don't think that we're just like, wow, I just better get praying. I mean, often when we're walking through those moments, we feel more like just giving up because we wonder where God is. And we need strength. If anything else, we need strength. And there's a verse tucked away here that's often overlooked in this James 5 passage. And it's verse 16. It says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. But then I want you to get a hold of the next portion of this verse. I'm going to read it to you from the New American Standard. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. See? It's a great principle. It's a wonderful guide for us praying with pain. I mean, I would venture to say that if I took a poll here this morning, that most of us, if ever we've hurt, I think most of us would put our hand up. And maybe even if I asked how many are hurting today, there may be still the same amount of hands, or at least very close to. We say, well, this is our desire, God. Here's the crisis we face. Here it is. And he says, I have to ask you for something. Two things. God says two things. Number one, if you notice in this passage, he says, number one, the first requirement is effective prayer. Effective prayer. Well, the word effective translated here is for the word strong. We're talking about strong prayer. We're not talking about, now I lay me down to sleep, pray my soul, my Lord, my soul to keep. You know, we're not talking about a quote prayer that we've learned as a child or that we quote to God. We say, oh, I learned this somewhere, I'm going to quote it to you. But we're talking about getting before God and just with strength coming to him and strongly praying and urging him and pleading before him and praying about our pain and seeking his face and saying, God, I don't know where you are sometimes. Being honest before him. We need to pray like we mean it. It's like this pastor who passes away and he's in his clerical collar and colorful robes, and he's waiting in line at the pearly gates. And just ahead of him is a guy dressed in sunglasses and a loud shirt and leather jacket and jeans. And St. Peter addresses this guy. He says, who are you? So that I may know whether or not to admit you into the kingdom of heaven. And the guy replies, he says, well, I'm Joe Green, taxi driver in New York City. And St. Peter consults his list, and he smiles, and he says to the taxi driver, he says, all right, take this silken robe and this golden staff and enter into the kingdom. And so the taxi driver enters heaven with his robe and his staff, and the minister, this pastor, he's next in line, and without being asked, he just proudly proclaims, I'm Michael O'Connor, head pastor of St. Mary's for the last 43 years. And St. Peter consults his list and he says, all right, take this cotton robe and this wooden staff and enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoa, whoa, just a minute, said the preacher. That man was a taxi driver. And you tossed him a silken robe and a golden staff. But I get wood and cotton. How can this be? Oh, St. Peter, he said, up here we go by results. While you preached, people slept. While he drove, people prayed. Praying with heart in it. Strong prayer. The very word means powerful and strong. Praying with strength. So we're talking about prayer that is motivated by a burden in our heart. We're talking about prayer that has much more power, much more strength than just a rote prayer. Something that we've remembered and memorized. Praying through pain requires strength, but prayer through pain also renovates the heart. The second requirement is found in these three words, a righteous person. What does that mean? You want to get God's supernatural omnipotence working through pain, then strong praying with heart, indeed genuine concern, as Caesar would say, there's the rub. Most people, when they face pain in their life, they haven't talked to God, they haven't read the Bible, they haven't gone to church, they weren't even interested in the things of God, and then all of a sudden, they start praying. I'm sorry to tell you, God can't listen. Oh, wait one minute, the Bible says, ask anything, it shall be done to you. Yes, but it says here, a righteous person, a requirement for God to hear our prayer is a renovation in our heart. We need to be right before God. And we've talked about righteousness. We went through the self series and we talked about being right with God. And when you and I become a child of God, we become righteous before Him. That's God sees us as righteous. Wow. God sees you as right in His eyes. That's our position before Him. A righteous person by position is a person who's right with God. That's the first way this word is used. The second way that this word is used throughout Scripture is talking about lifestyle or conduct. The second use of the word has to do with living right. Living like Jesus lived. Living like He's right there with you at all times. Walking with you. So let me boil it down to this. What's being said here? These two things are spoken of in this word. Not only does that person need to be a child of God, but that person's conduct, their lifestyle, must be right before God. You see, if I knowingly choose to sin against God and keep on sinning against Him and don't deal with it before Him, God is not going to hear my prayer. Not. I know that's startling. But you see, if God did hear my prayer, He would be contributing to my disobedience. He would be contributing to my rebellion. He would be contributing to my waywardness. That's not God. And that's why Elijah is used in this passage. He was a person just like you and I. He ran away at times. He wasn't a perfect man. He disobeyed God. But you couldn't outrun God. He couldn't outrun Him. He got depressed. He was full of fear at one time in his life. Many times. He's running from old Jezebel. We're not talking about Elijah being perfect. We're talking about Elijah coming to God in pain. Crying before Him with strength. For God to renovate his heart at times. We're talking about this. The kind of strong praying that God gets involved with is the kind of strong praying that comes from people who seek to live right before God. That's what it comes from. And it doesn't mean you're perfect. It means when you fail Him, you cry out to Him and you say, I failed you, God, I failed you again. You pray with your heart. Your heart's renovated every time you come before Him. You see, we can't manipulate God. We can't just go to Him every time we need a make everything better pill. Because God doesn't work that way. We cannot just come to God when we're in pain and just use Him to get over our pain and then jump on to the next life train out of here and ignore Him in the other areas of our life. See, we need to always walk the best we can, crying out for the will of God in our life. You see, if I choose to do my will in rebellion against God's will, whether it's sophisticated rebellion or outright wicked rebellion, it makes no difference. God says, I can't hear you then. There are two kinds of people. There are those who say to God, Thy will be done, Lord. And those to whom God says, all right then, have it your way. But I can't help you. See, if I cherish sin in my heart, says the Psalms, God's not going to hear me. I didn't say that God didn't want to get involved with me. I did not say that God is sitting in heaven just saying, oh, just God wants to get involved. He's willing to get involved in your life. Or position so that He can. See, God relishes in strong prayers from burdened hearts, breaking and releasing those hearts that are openly crying out to Him, God, I need your help. I can't do this. That's praying through pain. Praying through pain requires strength. Praying through pain renovates the heart. And praying through pain receives power. See, the word in the Greek for the word accomplish, the first part of that word, I love throwing Greek around because it's impressive. So, the first part of that word would look like this, and I'm going to spell it for you. E-N-E-R-G-Y. Now, I know it's early, but what does that spell? E-N-E-R-G-Y. Energy. And it's a Greek word we get our word from, our English word, energy from. What the Lord is saying in this passage is this. The effective prayer of a righteous man or a righteous woman brings about the release of God's supernatural power, God's divine energy into our pain to make a difference. Wow! If you have any encouragement today, take that. That's powerful. That's assurance. That's comfort. That's encouragement for me. When you and I have effective prayer, when we are effective before God as righteous men and women of God, He begins to release His divine, supernatural, unlimited energy. And He directs it toward the target that we're praying about, the pain that you and I may face at any given moment. To those of you who are facing a trial, maybe even today, maybe right now, it's not a question of whether God desires to or whether He promises to. God wants to. God wants to release His divine energy in your particular situation. He wants to do that for us because that's who God is. I found tucked away in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, and I'm going to read it from the Message Bible because I think it just brings it to light. It's a great example of this. Ephesians 1:19 in the Message says this, "Grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life that He has for His followers. Oh, the utter extravagance of His work in us who trust Him. Endless energy. Boundless strength." See, have you ever run out of energy? You know, you're doing something. Like, this always seems to happen to me when Joan says, "Would you mind vacuuming?" I start to lose energy. You know, or, "Hey, would you mind putting the dishes away?" All of a sudden, the kids lose energy. I don't know where it goes. I mean, you're doing something, and pretty soon, oh, you just can't do it anymore. You're tired. We run, and we run, and we run a race, and all of a sudden, we can't handle it anymore. We're tired. With God, His energy is endless. His energy is tireless. I can surely trust Him. I can trust Him in my crisis. I can trust Him through my pain because He can certainly handle it far better and far longer than I ever could. And the amazing, wonderful promise is that God is more than willing to do that for us. To Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think according to the power that works within us. In here. God is so willing to release His supernatural energy into your crisis, into your pain, no matter what it is that the situation you're in, where you're walking, He will do anything to make it correct. God promises in this passage, He says, the effective prayer of a righteous person will. You can look for the divine, personal intervention of God in our pain. Inner crisis, no matter what it is. You think about that for a moment. I mean, there are so many disasters. There's so many trials. So much catastrophe. So much calamity. Many predicaments. I mean, whole cities have been affected by this. Communities. But there are individual crises. And man's life and a woman's life and a young person's life and this family and this business and this environment and this relationship. Listen, here's the promise. God says, I'm ready. I'm willing to release my supernatural energy. Unlimited, boundless energy. The comforting thing that you and I can be assured of is that when we're walking through our pain, God knows all about it. He knows every detail. He knows why it's there, and He knows how it came about, and He knows exactly how to solve it, how to settle it, how to heal it, how to deliver, how to provide, how to protect. Whatever is necessary in such a way with our best interest in His heart. It may not be what we want. I mean, just because you and I are walking through pain, no matter how righteous you and I may be, that doesn't mean that God is always going to do exactly what I ask Him to do. Believe me, I know. Because I want God to do something sometimes. It may not be His will, because He has a greater purpose for me and for my life and for those around me. He says, he says that my ways, God says, my ways are higher than your ways, and my ways are greater than your ways. God knows. He has ways that I cannot comprehend, that I cannot understand. Some things God is going to do through my pain in a crisis, no matter what I do. Boy, I'm so encouraging today. God is going to do what He needs to do through my pain, and all I need to do is keep my focus on Him, not on my pain. Like Rick Joyner said, he said, most people are far more prone to let the bad experiences shape their views than the good ones. Where do we focus? Where are we looking? What lens do we look through? See, this is what the devil does. He says, look at how big your pain is. Look how big your problem is. Look how gigantic your situation is. Look how overwhelming it is. Look how impossible it is. Look at your pain. The devil's line is always this: look through my eyes at your pain. And God's line is always this: look at your pain through my eyes. And when you focus right through the lens of God, every problem becomes an opportunity. Well, I got to tell you, I want the verse back up there if you can, Chris. It's the next slide, I think. Go on, the next one. No, keep going forward, keep going forward. There we go. Look at this verse. This is an encouragement to me. The effective prayer of, okay, you watch. The effective prayer of, I want you to understand how absolutely, extremely valuable you are as an individual. The strong prayers of, and what's the next word? Ah. A. Not a whole church. Not the entire kingdom of God. I mean, two or three are gathered. He is in their midst, given. But the effective prayer, the strong prayer of a righteous person receives God's supernatural power released in their pain. You see the power of one with God? Ask God today what your prayer can do, because this is what God promises to every one of us who's here in the sanctuary today. The strong prayer of a single righteous person gets God's attention. It gets God's divine energy released, no matter what's going on. To me, that's encouragement. Knowing that I can come before God, I'm right before Him. In my position with Him, I am right in His eyes, and I can come and pray to Him just like anyone else can come and pray to Him. It doesn't need to be a group, because God desires intimate, personal relationship with me. And he's got everything that we need. He's got everything to provide my pain. It may be there, but God is much greater than my pain. Here's a question I have for you. How are you praying through your pain? Are you praying with strength? Are you praying with heart? Are you praying knowing His power? Let's pray. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, I'm going to ask you some questions. Maybe you need to talk to God about today. I don't know. Maybe you need to answer to Him some thoughts, some questions that are going on in your life. Maybe, are you walking with Him daily? Are you trusting Him for everything in your life? Are you loving Him? Are you obeying Him? Are you realizing that when pain enters your life, you don't have to straighten up everything, a bunch of stuff, and get it together? You just need to come to Him and release it to Him. You cry out to Him with your heart, with your burden, with your pain. Release it to Him. Maybe some of you haven't really taken this whole Christian thing seriously. Maybe you journeyed your own path, walked your own way, did your own thing. One of the best of everything that serves you. And then you wonder why God just doesn't seem to hear you. Maybe there are those who haven't believed God. You've never prayed, God, forgive me for all the bad stuff in my life I've ever done. I surrender my life to you now. Maybe you've rejected God. God's primary concern is relationship with us. God's promised to take care of our pain however He can, in His time that He will, the way He wants to, the time He needs to. But maybe you need to surrender to Him today and say, Lord, I'm willing to pay the price of a clean heart to receive Your divine energy in my life. Father, thank You. Thank You for this morning. But Lord, we understand that while we don't like it, we don't like pain, we don't like to suffer. Lord, while we don't like it, we know that every good and perfect gift comes from You. Lord, the situations in our life, sometimes we have a thought, we have a better idea, we have a better plan. But God, it can't outdo Your plan for our life. So today, Lord, we just pray that we would surrender to You at all times, daily, who we are, so that You can use us. So that You can use us in so many ways, even through our pain. May You receive the glory and the honor. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Again, in the foyer, there's a little Bible study, Praying Through Pain, that you can take and you can use for this week. And take note of a lot of scriptures there. Is it 9:40? Yes, we're almost at 9:40. Maybe sing first and then.
We're going to revisit that song that we did at Offertory called All of Me and sing that verse about wanting to be a blessing. I'm just on my heart as I heard that message. So I'm going to sing this as a prayer.